Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Last time on Roseville Beach.
And then there is a missing persons photo. It's the only photo of a person up there. It is Gabriella.
When did Gabriella go missing?
Yeah, did we know about that?
There's one tattoo shop on the island. Everybody there vanished.
Huh?
People disappeared from the tattoo parlor?
I'm simply floored by the amount of things happening on this beach that we don't know about.
There's more to that story, and I'm gonna get it after I find my girl.
And the camera zooms out. We see sort of this shadow cast over Roseville Beach. I have done regrettable things. I've hurt a lot of people. A lot of my own guys. But they take a breath. I would do it again. Bends, and it warps, and it casts your shadow across the room, up the wall, and you turn to hear a familiar voice. "September, you're running out of time."
Mysterious light shine along the ocean bay. Hard to resist the thrills upon the summer haze. Together on the beach we'll turn the night to day. Adventures on the beach, so come along. To play, monsters hide, but they won't stay. Roseville Beach with the gang that they found will turn this town right back around. Lou knows there's no broken thing that she can't fix.
Who else? At your service.
Magic that comes from lost powers, the witch Alix.
Hi, I'm Alix.
Arian's quest for love includes some fishy tricks.
Hi, I'm Arian.
Together, these three will surely have you transfixed. Roseville Beach, the ghosts like to play. Monsters hide, but they won't stay.
On our way quickly over to the sort of old bookstore where a coven has been meeting. The Roseville Beach Coven has met for many years underneath the Misty Moon, which used to be a more prominent bookstore, but now has sort of gone to the wayside. It's been not abandoned, but just forgotten about. More interesting, more exciting entertainment options have popped up around town. You are fresh off of the ley line incident where you stumbled across a ticking time bomb. The village depends on you, and only you in this moment, to save it. Alix, Arian, Lou, I would like one thing that goes through your head returning to the bookstore.
He's putting on a very, very cheerful, lighthearted front, especially since the infusion of the magics of the ley line within everybody. So there's a level of perhaps unearned confidence that is surging through his bloodstream. But as we approach the bookstore again, Arian can't help but remember the palette knife and the odd behavior from that witch, and how by willingly walking into another witch's coven, Arian is serving himself up on a platter, and how he might need to be a little bit more careful. He feels really good right now because of the ley line infusing.
She never anticipated to get a taste of magic. She had watched her friends do some magical things, but that was never really hers. And so to kind of have that thrust upon her, I think she feels a little out of her depth approaching what could be a whole group of magical individuals.
Alix does not enjoy walking into a large group of witches, as she has very specifically avoided doing so for a couple of years. And all of the other close brushes are not. They do not make her terribly happy about the situation at large. So it's just a constant sort of nervous energy that's probably hopped up with whatever this weird feeling of this energy that she has gained is as well.
As you enter into the bookstore, it's as you remember it, somewhat abandoned looking. The remnants of your interaction that you had here have been cleaned up, and the upstairs September, you would know, is sort of a front. This bookstore is in operation barely. Up the flight of stairs to the second floor is where the coven keeps some of its more of its occult books, but everything of interest is downstairs, which requires entry with a trinket, a token that all coven members have. This is something that you have on your person.
I think September's trinket, and maybe the coven's trinket at large, it looks like a bus token, but when you examine it, it's actually a TNA coin. Back in the 70s and 80s, there used to be adult bookstores, and they would use coins to let you see things, and the coins would be special. So it's like a heads or tails, and the tail is like a little butt, and the heads is either a topless gentleman or a topless femme or whatever. So that's hers. It's like a little sexy femme with no top on and then a little tail on the back.
Even though there's no one sort of manning it, you're able to access this back section. It's like behind a little black velvet curtain. And when you enter it with this token, it's almost like a shimmering portal. It reveals like a spiraling stairwell that goes down underneath the bookshop. You start to hear something surprising, something maybe you didn't quite expect, a low drum of music, of honestly, a little bit of a bop. It's not dissimilar, Arian, to something that would be played at the cabana, but it has a distinct sort of ethereal tone to it. It's actually really similar to your brand, your style of music, mixing the mystic with the popular. At the bottom of the stairwell, you enter into what can only be described as a gay club that meets a speakeasy. It is clearly a secret place where everyone who is here is living their life. They are out. They are proud of being witches. This is a place where they can be who they are without judgment or fear of the world at large. In the center of this room, because it kind of like has several alcoves that spiral out, I think like to your right, there's probably many like leather upholstered couches, and there's like a bar that spirals outward and loops back in, like lots of standing room to the left. Further in is where you would have your practicing chambers. It's where you would have, like, I think it's probably like a dance floor out there. But before you get to any of that, you are greeted with a enchantment, a sort of spell that has been inscribed on the precipice of this little, like, dais in the center, which normally September wouldn't have anything else on it, but today has a very special artifact, the Coven's Grimoire. Something that only the coven leader is able to access. Around it is inscribed the following spell. Beneath their feet, I draw the veil on Roseville Beach, where few men sail. A gift to you who understood, my one true friend, I spare thee victimhood. Made from branch and flesh and bone, and sculpted fast and out of stone, a relic, yes, this I graft, protecting all who practice witchcraft. And when I'm gone, you will still be safe, for there is always another to take my place. Tonight, a new coven leader will be chosen. There are many factions for you to explore and learn about. Off to the right, there is a new witch in town who is gorgeous and elegant and carries about her the same presence as Arion. To the left at the bar is a young apprentice who has sort of secluded himself from the rest of the witches, but has entered their name into the ring. And far down, near where that grim war is May from the Antiques and Oddity Shop.
All right, tonight you guys gotta get your stuff together, okay? I can't have you out here embarrassing me in front of everyone. I'm not putting my name in for obvious reasons because I'm still learning a lot, but please just make sure that you're on your best behavior, okay?
Of course, darling. Nothing but the best.
Well, I definitely won't be putting my name in.
So, can you give us the lay of the land here? Who's who?
Oh, do you want to go talk to people first? I wasn't sure if you guys would want to get a drink and hang out. I know, Lou, your eyes are probably bigger than your stomach. There's lots of cuties here tonight.
I'm just going to stand right here for now.
Oh, just right here, okay. Arian, do you want to go meet that cutie in the corner? Because I feel like the energy is kind of similar. And I know that, like, you and I have had a really nice time getting to know one another. And maybe that's, like, a first step.
Who do you refer to? Arian doesn't seem to have noticed this person.
September looks at you with a mix of delight and a bit of chiding. Like, game recognized game. Like, I just grab his hand. And I kind of look over at Alix. You know, I mean, I've kind of built up a lot of respect for you. I don't know that you want to, like, put your name in to lead these people because you really don't know them very well. But also, if you started a coven, I wouldn't be upset to join you.
I'm flattered. Can I smoke in here?
Of course. They light your cigarette before you can look for your matches. I take out my Bic lighter, but it's way too old to just sparkle the way that it does. I hit it the first time, and it does feel like I've put a little jazz into it.
Okay, stay out of trouble. Looks directly at Arian.
All the accusations.
And remember that if you sing, they're gonna know what you are.
I will not sing. I will hide my talents for all these wonderful eyes, and I will be on my best behavior. I have no intention of dying today. Lead the way, darling.
So you make your way over to the right to these couches, and you have people, like, drinking and smoking and probably doing some, like, magical drugs of their own concoction here in the coven. All the way in the corner, shadowed. In fact, you can only see sort of, like, there's, like, a shadow down her face diagonally, and you can see her smile, and you can see her yellow eyes that glow in the darkness, and that is it. And she sort of looks up from what she's reading. She places the book down, and she winks at you, Arion.
Arian fully takes in this person's visage. Can I suss out specifically if they're a siren like me?
Why don't you go ahead and make an investigation roll for a goal and a clue?
Let's put the 5 in goal and the other 5 in clue. I imagine that Arian is doing the thing where you clock someone from across the club or bar and you maintain eye contact, but you kind of, like, weave in and out of the crowd so you're able to assess someone's anticipation over your arrival. He's using that to be the kind of like main assessment point of if she has clocked him as a siren, she would probably keep looking at me. If not, she's probably a normal person. And yeah, I think he's just kind of like watching her gaze as he weaves through the crowd alongside September.
She is clearly a magical creature. She is not a human being. You catch this as she takes her hair and she sort of lifts it up and she puts it in a little messy bun, but it's not, it falls effortlessly, right? It has like a cascading beauty to it, the way that sort of like a wave would have crashing on the shore as it crashes against her shoulders. There is just the slightest spark of electricity that sort of stumbles off of her as she does this. This, Arion, is a sea witch.
Arion keeps a note to himself and still continues to go and greet her because it is better to have a potential ally than not in this particular space. And also September is encouraging him to do this, so he can't back out now necessarily without seeming really weird.
As the two of you arrive, this mysterious woman sort of just like turns the table. It's a magic spell she casts, and she's able to turn the top of the table as she puts two drinks that were in front of her now in front of you. Please sit.
That's such an incredible host already. I feel right at home.
Do you?
How could I not?
Yes.
I feel from you, how do they say it? A kinship?
Well, yes, darling. Although, a true kinship. And you can see she's struggling to find the right words to say as she's pushing down a bubbling anger. I will take kinship where I can get it these days.
You seem troubled.
Mm-hmm.
What seems to be shattering your mind?
It is not often that I visit the land, nor do I visit another coven. But these are dark times.
Dark times that would pull you away from your home?
I have no home anymore. It was destroyed. The men of this island took it from me. My coven is gone.
I'm so sorry for your loss. That's terrible.
I came to lands to plead with your coven's leader, but when I arrived, she was gone.
Yeah, she's been gone. It's really terrible.
I, covenless, seek to join this one and perhaps can lead you in a more triumphant era.
Rian looks very uncomfortable for a moment, hearing that the men of land had destroyed her coven, because that usually means that a terrible catastrophe happened beneath the waves. And September, you see Arian's demeanor change. There's no subtlety. It's like a cold air enters the room, and the man that stands next to you feels different, more primal. Sister, I don't believe I had your name.
Hallie.
Hallie, what happened? I'm sorry to hear of the loss of your coven. Where did this occur and when?
She reaches over, and as her hand creeps out of the shadows, you see that it is not hidden. She is not hiding what she is. She will never do that again. She has a scaled hand, and static electricity follows everywhere she moves. She traces the rim of your glass, and in it, you can see a vision from her past, a memory she has chosen to share with you. It was late, a cool night. Everything should have been fine. The ocean was still. My coven was sleeping. And then, the men came with their boats and their nets. And they took many of our friends. More than I could count. You see, my coven shares the form of the creatures of the sea. We detest a human body. And they were captured. Taken. Gone. Where to, I don't know. I'm sure disaster fell them. I was the only one left. able to cut myself out of a rope before it caught me as well. Arion, you see some of the men on the boat hauling in these giant commercial fishing nets, which in the fishing nets, yes, they have fish and they have these sort of sea nymphs of this coven, as well as like a lot of trash and pollution, just things that have been dumped in the ocean, right? And you see a glimpse of somebody pulling it up. It's Odysseus.
Lou has her arms crossed, kind of the same posture that she was standing in after Arion's show. So like feet shoulder width apart, shoulders back, arms crossed, just looking around the room.
She's just sitting there and she's just looking around. There are a lot more people in here than maybe she was expecting. And I think there's equal parts, I won't say jealousy, that's not quite it. I think she thinks she's thinking about like what her life could have been if these were the first witches she came across and not another.
While you're caught in your thoughts, and Lou, you're kind of just like uncomfortably waiting, you actually recognize one of these candidates, Lou. You worked some jobs with them. They're a really dependable guy. You've known them for years. They're off in the corner. Their name is Bradley. They're the guy kind of secluding themselves from the rest of the coven.
Lou takes some very weird and obvious strides across the room, like boot up, heel down, then toe, all the way over to Bradley. Like, everybody in the room would notice this just really weird walk. She's obviously trying to be unseen and is just completely failing. And doesn't uncross her arms and then just takes up the exact same stance right next to Bradley. Hey!
Bradley is nose deep into books and papers, and he's writing out a plan for preparation and rituals, and he's researching all the previous tasks that were put upon candidates in the past, and he's trying to pile up all this together. And then you see underneath his book is a big, "Where did she go? She disappeared."
Lou slams her hand down on top of all these papers and like moves the papers aside so that comes more into view. What's that? Hello, Bradley. Nice to see you. I didn't know you were a witch. What's that?
Lou, I didn't know you were a witch.
I'm not.
And they kind of like look back at the entrance with like, you could see concern in their eyes that they've been compromised.
I came in with like 3 witches.
Okay. Wow.
They know I'm here. It's fine.
Okay. Hey, hi, Lou. Hi. And they like grab you by the shoulders in a way that's supposed to be comforting, but they just end up shaking you and nervous because they are shaking so much.
Yeah. Okay. We could stop that.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's missing?
They suddenly get serious as their eyes shift up to you. They take one hand off. They sort of like pull you in with the other so that they can whisper in your ear. You said you came in with a few other witches, right?
Yeah.
Can we trust them?
Well,
Lou, do you trust them?
I think all 3, but 2 out of 3. Yeah. I really want to trust the 3rd one.
As they sort of like scrunch their face, trying to decipher if they can trust you. Okay, Lou, you have to, you gotta be real with me. Do you trust all 3 of them?
I met one of them today.
I know, Lou. I'm asking you as a friend, as always a person who I...
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Do you know what's even happening right now?
Well, it looks like you want to lead this coven.
Well, yeah, no, I don't. I really don't.
Then why are you preparing to try out?
Lou, we can't trust any of them. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but 2-3 weeks ago, one of the people who were building up to lead our coven, the favorite, Anaya, she just disappeared one day. I think the coven might have just, as they like draw their finger across their throat, taken them out.
We're looking for somebody, and so I hope they're not dead.
I can't help you with that right now, Lou.
They're not dead. Okay, I'm just going to say it right now. They're not dead.
And they, like, put their hand over their face in a way that's actually very similar to Alix. As this person who has been so happy there, as long as you've known them, now suddenly stripped of that joy.
Bradley, if you go into a situation thinking the worst outcome has happened, you won't succeed in what you're trying to do. I'm being very serious right now. Also, Bradley, I don't think that you should try to lead this coven. You couldn't even lead the construction site. Lou doesn't believe that if somebody doesn't want to do something, that they should do it because then she thinks that they'll do a bad job. So if he doesn't want to lead the coven, he should not be the one leading the coven.
The words you say land on him, but not as much as putting any of these other people in position of power. Lou, thank you. No, hey, Lou, thank you. I can't have you distract me right now.
So you're more concerned with finding a leader for this coven than finding a missing person?
What would you know, Lou? This is not your world.
That statement gets in to Lou because people think that she is just a dumb fool. And she knows that's what people think about her. I've lived in this town for 10 years, Bradley, so I know a lot. So you go back to your fun little games and whatever this obstacle course and trial is going to be, and I'm going to go do something that actually matters.
Yeah, okay.
She grabs the paper just in case there's something else on it and then walks away from him.
I think it just, like, flips you off as you go.
Just fucking smoking, pops a look at the grimoire and just like, where can I stand where I will attract the least amount of attention? And is going to go find that corner.
The front part of the Coven Club is this lounge, right? It's the bar. The middle part is sort of where we do our ceremonies. And then there are our work areas where the Coven can practice witchcraft. And there are people kind of in all the spots, but definitely more towards one of those alcoves, one of those practicing areas would be the most secluded section of this club.
Slow pace across the bar, just like under the radar. Just do the same thing she's done for years. It's just, how much can she minimize her presence in this room full of people who are not mundane?
Honestly, people don't seem to notice you. Alix, in this place, you're ordinary. You're not really anything unique in a place like this. And you make your way into this area. You're here for a while, and it's almost like the world sort of closes around you, right? You can hear, like, just a hum of people talking in festivities or in thoughts. You hear sort of rumors murmuring about who people want to lead the coven, who they think would be good at it, who they think would be bad at it. And then there is something that slides into your field of view. Actually, it drops from the ceiling right at your feet. A letter.
I look up at the ceiling. Is there, like, a hole or a trapdoor or anything?
You aren't unsure of how this actually got to you, whether it was done through sorcery, whether it was done through a trapdoor, or if somebody was passing by and, like, threw it at you. You're really not sure how this got to you. But you do recognize, and it's wild, Alix, the thing smells familiar. It's a weird, sulfuric, acidic smell.
She's gonna put her cigarette in her mouth and, like, pick it up and just sort of, like, surely we can make an agreement that Alix has, like, a little shitty pocket knife. She's gonna use that to unseal it. Just, like, flips it open and just kind of, like, cuts open the envelope and then dumps whatever's there onto a table.
A letter falls out, and then one of these coins to gain entry into the Coven Club falls out as well. The letter, when you unfold it, it says, "Hi friend, I write this with great urgency. I've encountered an alarming number of threats west of the village. Our friend helped me find them before things got out of hand. Don't worry, it's okay. But, well, recently they have been fighting to get back to Roseville Beach, leading me to all the witches across the west side of this island. I don't know what's happening, but I can't deal with it here. I had a witch, a hedge witch, not associated with any coven, help me get this to you. You cannot let this grimoire get into the wrong hands. OS says it will be a disaster. Okay, thank you. Your friend G and OS.
Fuck. Oh, fuck. Who's the wrong hands, dude? You gotta be more specific than this. Fuck.
And there's another letter that falls out. When you open this one, it says, P.S. I forgot to mention it. The token I gave you will let you enter into the competition.
Oh, no. And she like stuffs the letters back together and like folds it up and like scrams it back into the envelope. It's just like, no. And she like lights her fingers and just burns the letter.
And the letter goes up in flames, and you see as it kind of goes up in flames, there's almost like a little smiley face of the salamander that disappears into smoke. Now, Alix, it does not have to be you. Anyone can enter into this.
I really think that looking at this coin, I think there's a moment where she's going to zone out and she's going to absentmindedly reach into her own pocket for the coin that is completely unmarked. And just, like, run her thumb along it. And she's going to think about the day that she got that coin. And I think that's going to occupy her for, like, longer than is prudent. And then she's going to look up and try and see where the fuck everyone else has gone. Because she's not doing this. Abso-fucking-lutely not.
Alix, as you enter back into the Coven Club, you're looking for your friends. The first one you find is Luke.
You good?
I just think people need to get their priorities straight.
You and me both. You look pissed.
Well, you know how September is missing someone?
Yeah.
Bradley was writing down that somebody was missing. He doesn't trust anybody in this coven.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
He thinks that they killed her.
Quickly joining you, Arion and September.
And that was that book that I was reading the other day.
Arion looks like a different person to both of you.
Are you good?
I think September is like, has a look on their face that can only be described as mischievous worry. They sort of lean in conspiratorially to both of you.
We had a little bit of a strange encounter with Hallie over there. And I think maybe you need to show your roommate a little bit of love because he's reeling a little bit. That's a terrible pun, but you know what I mean. He's very upset. He's seen some things and I think Arian could really use the love and the affection right now.
And they, like, try to put an arm around you to comfort you.
Lou grabs Arian into a body-crushing hug.
What? No. Don't use Stilat lugs.
Let you go.
Oh.
You gotta take the love, baby. You gotta accept the love. It's coming from a place of care and support. You just gotta, like, let it go. Just let it be.
Arian looks to the both of you. Someone is fucking with my people, and I'm not happy about it. And there's a strong intensity in Arian's face as he's reeling from all the realizations that he's just made.
Well, seems like nobody's having a good time. Who wants to lead? Because I don't. But we've got this funny little coin now.
Oh, are you sure? You're so capable.
Arian, would that make you feel better?
She just holds it directly over to you.
Oh, absolutely not. I have far larger priorities.
Well, I don't want it to be Bradley.
Why would you trust me with a leadership position?
I just thought maybe it would make you feel better.
Well, you're handsome and charismatic, and that's usually pretty good in a leader.
There's a little fang that steps out that he's, like, tamping down this little bubbling frustration with bright, bubbly charm. Well, thank you. I do think I'd be a pretty good charismatic leader, but I'm not a witch. Whoever needs to lead this place has to be a witch, and it probably has to be a witch who actually knows what they're doing.
I know a witch who knows what they're doing, but they don't seem to want to claim the mantle that is being offered them.
All three of our heads turn to look at Alix.
The cigarette is now, like, getting close to the end of where she can still hold it, and it's just, like, furiously pulling on it. Just like, look, I'm flattered. I really am. I no. It's not.
An unwilling leader is not a good leader.
I 100% agree with that.
I mean, there is something to be said about a true good leader is not necessarily a person who, like, wants the power necessarily, but is at the very least someone who knows and is willing to use said power for the betterment of the group.
We don't need to say that.
In the middle of this conversation, September, everything stops around you. Emanating from the radiance of the grimoire, your shadow looks up to you. You hear the clock strike. Signaling midnight. The final chance to submit for the competition. The shadow looks at you and doesn't say anything, but you know what it means. You are not strong enough to save Samira. You're not strong enough. You need it. You need it. And that person, whoever is going to be the leader, you've seen already these people are selfish. These people are unable to help you. You have to rely on yourself.
I think September takes a step, just very covertly, toward it. And then in, like, one fluid motion, just puts their name in. I feel like their hand shakes a little bit right at the end, but they get it in just in time. I don't know that they're covert enough, but she really doesn't want it to be a big thing. Like, this is something she just needs. And in that moment, I think she just takes it. Takes the opportunity.
Lou, you're the only one who sees this.
I think Lou simply does not care. If September wants to lead the coven, then they should. This is not Lou's care anymore.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten Tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and seal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979. Included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Somm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's this about an invitation? GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600 plus page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound, as well as industry partners like Darrington Press, Modifius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. The chosen projects will receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. The call for submissions is open from May 5th through the 26th, with crowdfunding going live fall of 2026. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, but if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today. This episode was brought to you by World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the powers those worlds have to shape our own. Their posts are wide-ranging, and if you can't find something that interests you, that's gotta be a skill issue. Because even with a quick glance on their front page, I found posts about The Sims, about Project Hail Mary, about Halloween Town of all things, a movie I ritually watch every October. But one of my favorites was a post about Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers, which is a wonderful duology, a little slice of life about a tea monk and a sentient robot. And the World Builders Club article is a wonderful peek into the themes of the books. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
About an hour has passed. It is now 1 a.m., and the trials have begun. There will be a handful of trials. Along September are Bradley, who looks more determined than ever to win. Hallie, who knows she has found allies in her cause. And May, who looks significantly older, significantly more frail than she ever has. Like she's on the last little wisp of her life. The first trial, says sort of the keeper of the records, is the rite of creation. Every coven leader must go through this process of making your very own wand, which you will use to lead the coven. The first one to go is then Bradley, who steps in front of everybody. A little bit too eager.
Literally just like casual boot out in front of him as he steps to go up there first.
He stumbles. In fact, he kind of almost like falls to a knee as he looks up, not at you, towards the Keeper of Records, but everyone else looks at you, Lou. You're going to take a scare here, outsider. You watch as Bradley approaches sort of this workbench on which there are several wands to choose from. And you can see that he's struggling back and forth to see which one he's going to take. And he grabs one, he whispers something into it. And there's like almost a magical spark that backlashes on him. This wand has been chosen and we move on. May steps up and she's confident. She's a witch of many years. But she is getting older, and she reaches down, she picks up a wand that is made of like a charred branch, and it's no longer than 7 inches, maybe 8 inches. And as she pulls it up, she too whispers something into it, and it sort of like burns her hand. You can smell sort of that burning. Hallie steps up. And Hallie has never used a wand. The Sea Witches, at least the ones near Roseville Beach, the ones of her coven, do not use arcane devices. So this is a very new process to her. She deliberately does not whisper anything into it. Nothing happens to her, and she takes the wand. September, you approach, and there is only one wand left.
The wand looks like it is made out of plastic, almost. It's a little chintzy. It almost resembles a costume-type wand. There's glitter in the handle. It does not look at all serious. And I think when September gets up there for a second, their heart drops. They know that this isn't official. They know people will laugh at this. But the more they look at it, the more it starts to remind them of the toy scepter that their parents bought them as a kid. They used to do pageants and things like that. And it looks like that, but with the top kind of taken off with the little mallet-y crown part at the top. That's not there, but she kind of studies it for a second, looks around in disbelief, like, is this for me? And just reaches out and kind of hovers their hand over it for a second, weighing their choices before picking it up.
When you touch it, you have to give something. All magic, anytime you work magic, especially when you are creating something as precious as a coven, requires sacrifice. requires you to give something of yourself to it. Pick one of these options, or none. Give up the happiest moment you've ever experienced. Share a secret that is not yours to tell. Offer it a fear giving willingly. Or make a vow that you can never break.
I think September sits with that for a second. They're acutely aware that they are taking more time than the others. And they come down to a fear. They close their eyes and they try to whisper it as quietly as they can.
I'm afraid I'm just not good enough to be good at anything, at desirable, at being in charge of anyone, not even myself. I'm afraid I'm useless.
The Keeper of the Tomes congratulates everybody on selecting their wand and instructs them to form their coven. The three others choose three of their trusted allies who they have found over the past few months to help them with the trials. September, who are your three?
I think the first person that I approach is Arian.
I know you're not a witch. I understand. You've already explained this to me, but you don't have to be a witch to be in community and concert with me, all right? We share something. There's something here that's remarkable. And I don't know. I think maybe this is what you're supposed to do. And honestly, at the bare minimum, it would really cheese off Hallie if you came with me.
The second you mention Hallie, Arian looks from the corner of his eye, glances over to Hallie. Under normal circumstances, maybe he would have allied with Hallie. But if this, he feels a tug deep within his soul with a pact that he had made with Atticus. This idea that he must find what is responsible for all the tragedies at Roseville Beach. And a person who is filled with anger, vengeance, however justified, may not have the clarity for what's best for Roseville Beach. And then there's a tiny flash of his mind of that look, that moment of Odysseus pulling up the nets. And he shakes his head of, that can't be true. And that won't be true. And he smiles at you, eyes unclouded for a moment. I think that I would be honored to stand by your side.
Oh my goodness, thank you. You get a huge hug. And then they bounce over to Lou.
So, you know, you like this place. You think hanging out here is good. There's really cute people. I'm here. You got lots of reasons to join my coven. I know you're not a witch, but you got a word of power with your hammer. And I mean, I've never seen anything as gay as that. So you might as well.
Am I going to be like beholden to something? Because I got like a lot of jobs to do.
No. I mean, you would come here for drinks anyway, right?
Not probably usually.
Not even if they, I don't know, we dedicated more time to embarrassing Bradley?
You know what? If joining your coven means that he won't be the leader of this coven, I'm in.
Ah, yes! Ah, yeah. Spite is one hell of a drug.
They look over at Alix and they kind of scrunch up their features a little bit and kind of scrunch their shoulders down to smoosh themselves into a very cute looking person. Even with the scrunch, they're still taller than Alix, but they pop over. They do like a little like saunter over and they poke you a couple of times in your arm.
So, I know you don't want to lead a coven, and that was a smart choice that I unfortunately didn't make because I'm a simpler person than you. But would you maybe lend your expertise and your dedication and your, honestly, so frustrating, your brilliance. Would you mind maybe putting that into play for me? As the coven leader, I will not bother you. You will come and go as you please. I will only seek you out in emergencies, and you can complain as much as you want.
Good pitch. Did you do that one all on the fly?
Yeah, yeah, You know, I'm a little scared of you, even though you're much smaller than I am. You have a very intimidating aura, and I'm like equal parts like really nervous around you, but like also like you're cute. So I don't know. You confuse me, to be honest, but it would be great.
Stop.
To...
Stop. Why do you do magic?
Well, I mean, I do magic because it comes from my heart. It's something that I didn't realize I had. I was living like a pretty regular life. I was not really questioning anything around me. And then one day it kind of hit me and it changed everything. It made me think differently about myself and my surroundings. And I left everyone and everything behind that rejected me and came here. So I do it because it feels like it's what I should be doing. And I don't really have that feeling a lot, you know?
Yeah. Look, I chose this. I sought it out. You had it put upon you. And right now you're making the choice to tie yourself to it. Is that what you want?
Yeah, it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'm the best person for this job. I'm probably not, honestly. But I do think that I'm capable of wielding the power as long as I have support. I do think I'd do a good job. I really want to find my partner, and if I don't, well, that's a problem for future September, but if I do, I'll devote everything I got to this.
I think you will. And until you get them back, then I will be your third member.
Okay.
You're getting them back, and then I'm fucking off. I just want to be very clear and upfront about that. You only need three. You're welcome to come by whenever you want to, obviously, but this, it's not for me.
But you said I can come over whenever I want?
Yeah, you're all right.
So you're saying we could be friends, then?
Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right. I'll come over. What kind of cookies do you like? Do you like Pop-Tarts?
Who doesn't? You've got important things to do, and look, we're going to find your partner. That's the gist I'm getting at here. Just bring it back in. You got to be serious in front of the crowd.
Yeah. Got to be real so serious. Oh my God. I don't even own a blazer.
Lou leans over and goes, I love strawberry Pop-Tarts.
I haven't had one.
You've never had a Oh my God. Listen, Alex says that I gotta straighten up right now and fly right because this is an important moment, but we're gonna have this conversation, young man, when I get back. You'd have never had a Pop-Tart. What in the world?
We're gonna fast forward to the next trial, which you have been sort of taken to one of these side rooms, and you've been allowed time to prepare. You don't know what the trial's for, but you've been allowed time to prepare. On the other side of the door, you hear gasps, you hear cheers, you hear cries of like, oh no, right? And then you are brought out. The three of you, your coven, is brought into the center. There are several different stations. And Alex, you would recognize this immediately as being different magical ingredients or different like arcane devices. Just there, it seems like there's something for every kind of witchcraft here. September? You have been brought to a podium on which the grimoire rests. Now, you have been given, through this trial, the ability to temporarily interact with the grimoire. Otherwise, it will reject all other witches who attempt to use it. This is the right of leadership. We will test your ability to lead your coven in the magical arts. Craft something to protect yourselves in a further trial. There are a handful of things that are sort of offered as options already, almost like in the table of context. There's potion craft, there is talisman, there are enchantments, and there's also something glowing on the back of the book, written in the margin on the cover, scrawled, handwritten. Something that you can observe and no one else can. September, this is written by the same person who wrote those runes back at the tattoo parlor. It's something about channeling ley line magic. And you don't know what the result will be, but it's another option to you.
knowing that at least two of us are ley line touched, I think that's the one that September chooses. They feel like that's not a coincidence.
Now, September, the rest of these have instructions. This one does not. You are going to have to create this ritual, this witchcraft, on your own. And instruct your coven to do the work.
Okay, so listen up. We gotta make something that is kind of infused with that ley line magic that we had. I don't think anybody else, like, knows about that here. So, like, our chances are pretty good. Lou, you've got your magic hammer, and I feel like if we're gonna construct something that's gonna protect us in a future trial, that maybe that's, like, where we should start. Like, I don't know if maybe, like, a magical shield would be good, because, you know, oh, or maybe, like, a horn or, like, a magical trumpet or something, because I know that that can involve Arian. Like, you're a really wonderful singer, and you've got, like, some mojo in your singing, and you're real special. And then Alix, maybe you could make sure that maybe you could, like, spell it so that only, like, the aggressor, only someone who, like, means us harm, maybe that's the only person who can, like, hear the sound. And then I'm real good at potions usually, and I like, you know, doing mixology and stuff. So maybe I could, like, make an infusion or something like that that would end the effect.
Do we all have to make a different object?
I feel like you're going to make the first object with your hammer, and then Arian can add what he has, and then Alix can put the spell on the outside, and then I'll have the piece at the end. So it's not that we necessarily have to make different things. I feel like it's all of us putting our intention into one thing.
A sledgehammer is usually good for destruction rather than putting things together. So I'm going to call the sledgehammer to my hand. What if I gave this up and it becomes like the central part of the shield?
Oh my goodness, you would do that?
I do like carrying around a sledgehammer, but I don't really like having magic.
Oh, I see. What? How would you feel about taking in a little of my magic? I could make a little potion that you can drink, and it'll be temporary. It'll only be as long as you want it. You can give it up any time. That way you're not just, like, giving something for nothing.
Well, I think I'm giving it so that you become the coven leader, right? That's something for something.
That's true.
But if you feel better with an equal exchange of things... Also, who's to say if I give up the sledgehammer and then I try to call it again, I don't just call the whole shield to me? I mean, that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool, honestly. Can you tell the sledgehammer the idea? Like, can you, like, communicate with it?
I don't think it's sentient, but I can give it a shot. And I hold the sledgehammer out in front of me. Hey, buddy. I know we haven't, like, known each other for that long, but I was thinking that, like, maybe you could be used in the process of creating an even bigger, better magic thing, item of sorts. What do you think about that? Does that sound like how you'd want your fate to go?
And there is a distinct silence in the room, and somebody watching coughs. And then there is another distinct silence in the room.
I'm not getting anything from it.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe instead of telling you what I think you should do, maybe you just tell me what you guys think you can impart to this. A good coven leader does listen.
No, I like your idea. I think what would be easier for me to execute would be, Alix, if you were able to describe to me or chart to me what this sort of boon would look like for that sort of protection that heeds only the presence of the aggressor. And I could try and match that frequency and infuse it onto our sledgehammer here. The fact that it's already fused with magical properties would just make it easier for me. It's just finding the right note.
Yeah.
In order to roll this, September, you cannot be the one to roll. In fact, you cannot help at all. Lou, Arian, and Alix must be the ones to do this. September, it is your choice who gets to make the roll.
I think Alix is the person that she chooses. She sees the way the other two look to her and has faith.
Magic, goal, and in this case, because you are using Leyline Magic, harm.
5 in magic, 5 in goal, 5 in harm.
You craft this shield, which uses sort of the sledgehammer as the point of which to hold it. In fact, I think this is less of a small light shield, and this is like a tower defense shield. It has a little bit of each of you in its imagery.
For Arian, it's similar to like a boon of protection in the traditional sense. And Arian is tapping into that very, very like traditional sacred art of creating a boon of protection. So as he's aiding Alix, he's trying to match the note's frequency to that of protection, because the sledgehammer is a device of destruction. So what he's doing is finding the right note within the resonance of this metallic device and finding a slightly adjacent. It almost sounds like steel knocking against steel, and finds it.
The way that this sort of manifests in the shield is it has almost like a passive harmony to it. When it is struck, it does not have like a clang, it has harmony.
It's heavy. One person can hold it, but there's a heft to it that I think means that it's going to hold up against a lot. It's sturdy, it's well made, well forged, and steadfast.
It can't harm those who don't mean the owner harm. And I think with that, there comes at least a certain level of awareness, even if not outright sentience. It has enough of a consciousness to recognize its wielder.
I think while it's not flashy, it is the most cohesive piece that's there. It feels like the people who put it together have a deeper connection and a deeper level of understanding of one another.
This item will aid you in the upcoming trial, but it will falter at some point. Additionally, while you are all touched by the ley line, you can share each other's words of power. We're going to fast forward 1 more hour, 3 in the morning. A final trial, one that is pressing to finish quickly. You are entered into a room where there is almost like a wisp, an arcane spirit of the island, something gentle and true to Roseville Beach. It is dying. This is the rite of preservation. A coven leader must protect those within their coven. There has been a hex placed on this. It is killing it. Save the creature, and it will lead you to the final trial.
Are the effects of the hex obvious? Like, is it something physical, or does it seem something internal?
It's a magical creature. It's not like an animal. It is a spirit of the island that has not taken physical form. It almost looks like a ball of light, and it is currently eating its own arcane signature, like an Ouroboros.
I think September kind of cradles it in her hands and thinks about all of the beautiful pieces and places and people that they've met in Roseville Beach, and speaks that aloud to the rest of the coven.
I feel like if it's eating itself, maybe that means it's hungry for more of that validation and more of that knowledge, and we can't just stagnate, you know? We gotta make sure we're just not taken from it, but also pouring into it from our cups. So I'm going to think of all the best things and all the reasons why I love this place and how grateful I am to have met all of you. And I'm going to think of my love, because she's my favorite thing from this place.
And she looks down and says,
Radiance.
Are you willing to give yourself a harm to succeed at this magic?
Yes.
You are weaving magic that can just succeed because you are using the power of your coven to do so as the coven leader. But in order to do that, you have to sacrifice something.
And what if for you to see yourself like I see you, like we see you? You can take my right eye. See me like I see you.
I think like as she focuses on it and she keeps kind of whispering radiance and kind of channeling like into this, you see her right eye go pale. It almost looks like a frost kind of appears over it. You can still see, it's still beautiful, it still looks nice, but there is like almost a film, almost like a cataract over the outside of the eye. And she kind of whispers, anything, anything to keep it together, anything to get it back.
You transfer your own health into your own vitality into this creature. And the hex is not lifted, but forced out of it as it is replaced with a new energy, this radiance. And it glows very brightly and then suddenly takes form into your familiar. Also describe the familiar that represents your coven and yourself.
It's a little fennec fox. It has golden fur that represents both the radiance of the word of power, but also like the aura that Arian emits. It is both hardy and delicate at the same time, kind of like Lou. It has a very discerning look on its face that is charming, but also quizzical, similar to Alix. But then it has these big ears and this brightness to its eyes that matches the energy that September gives.
The little fox jumps down from the table that it's been on. It looks back at you, and it like puts its paw up, and it turns around, and it begins to walk up the stairs, out of the bookstore, and onto the beach, walking west into the forest, until it eventually leads you deep within the twisted roots and gnarls of that swamp to a little sea cave that no one on Rosal Beach enters, because no one comes back out.
This series stars Alexander Christopher as the Game Master, Valiant Dorian as Arion, Dan Pixel as Alix Cho, and Kenzie Tartaglioni as Lou Wells. This episode's guest star was Candace McAfee as September Brown. If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord, and make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more.